Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm doing good. How are you?
Dude, I think that was the fastest I've done the intro because I really just want to dive right in. Two topics that I really want to talk about. The first one, thanks to you, we got a look at the Flash season opener.
Yes.
Kudos to you, my friend. Kudos. And now we will talk about it in front of everybody.
Episode one.
First episode.
Holy fudge nuggets. I'm just like, he was awesome.
It was really good. Not that I was surprised or anything like that, that it was going to be good, but yeah, it was good. It takes place
six months
after the singularity.
Right.
And, you know, I keep wanting to say Wally because he's Wally West, but he is Barry.
I know.
The way the character's portrayed is more Wally than he's Barry, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It's still great. So Barry has decided to work alone, I guess, the last 6 months.
Right. He's tired of getting his friends and family in harm's way.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks, you know, he you could also see the look. He still feels a little burned by the entire Wells thing.
Yes.
And so he just feels like, you know, screw it, I'll just do it alone.
Yeah. And he doesn't, well, we don't know what's happened over the course of the 6 months. We do get a flashback, and it shows what happens as he's zooming up the building, and he's jumping on the carnage.
Yeah, vortex, whatever.
It's a great scene. Every time I see that, and he's, first of all, the effect of the lightning in his eyes, every time they do it, it's like, to me, it's so badass.
Something is going on with that lightning, because it's getting more and more prominent every time he uses powers, and all of a sudden, lately, more posters that are coming out, seems like something is going on.
Yes, and I wonder if it's Speed Force related. It's got to be.
On some of the trailers, they showed it go to white.
I didn't pay that close of attention to it.
Yeah, what can I? It's one of the sites pointed it out to me. That's fine. Okay. So there is something definitely going on, but he's upset. He stops the singularity. Then he realizes that, you know, he's got to stop putting everybody in harm's way. He feels like the cause. So he kind of shuts everybody out.
Yeah.
And that just kind of, you know, draws people together, you know, pushing them away.
It draws the team around him together, but they've also disbanded as well.
Yeah. Well, no more Star Labs. So, you know, Cisco ends up taking a job as kind of a police scientist for metahumans over at, working with, Joe West. Caitlin goes over to Tina McKee's lab over at Mercury Labs. Iris has now been, like, still doing her reporting thing.
Hey, was there any significance in Mercury Labs?
I just think it just has to do with the name.
Okay.
Because, like, I'm
sure if it was some sort of reference.
No, I mean, the only reference is just a very, very far reference, because the original Flash, you know, the helmet, and, you know.
Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury, that was always Mercury's helmet if you look at, you know, ancient Greek drawings. I think that was the only real reference to it.
Yeah.
But it just, the show moved at high speed, but yet it just had a good pacing to it.
Yeah.
And it's just, the speed went really fast. And, you know, so we're up to speed of what happened and where, you know, where we are now.
Right.
And it's just,
And his primary relationship with Joe, I mean, that's, I don't want to say that was the focus of the show, but he interacted with Joe the most. And right from the beginning, because he's still doing the CSI work, Barry's doing the CSI work, you can tell right from the start that there's a rift between him and Joe.
Yeah.
And it's not because of Joe. It's definitely because of Barry.
No, Barry's just trying to shut everyone out. He just doesn't, you know, he really feels, you know, the blame for everything. So he's just trying to keep everybody at arm's length.
And so much so that he's been going at night and rebuilding Central City pretty much.
Yeah. But again, it's just like, you know, under the cover of darkness, it's just like buildings are getting repaired and stuff right. like that, which is kind of interesting. I mean, there were two Easter eggs in there.
Right.
Not too sure if you caught. First one is like, when he gets the first emergency call within the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
He shoots off and you see this letter fall to the ground. It says, Bartholomew Allen, Coast City, California.
Oh, it actually even said all that too?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't, because I was watching on my computer. It was real small, so I don't even remember seeing the letter fall. But if it's, that's pretty interesting.
It's, I think it has to do with just, you know, studying film and TV and stuff. It's just like.
You take notice of that stuff?
Yeah, you just like, okay, this is definitely a plot device right here.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it fell, and I was just like, wait a minute, this might mean something. So I had to rewind it a couple times, and I was like.
Okay.
It's not like I caught it right away, but it was just like, I was just like, okay, why did they focus? It's like they hung on that letter for a couple seconds.
Yeah, too long.
That it was just like, that. It's just, my eyes were just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was kind of an inside joke for Bertinelli and Guggenheim. They both worked on a show called Eli Stone.
Okay.
Which was about this attorney who had a brain tumor. We thought he was speaking to God or some kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
So the law firm was the same law firm from Eli Stone. It was just like, oh, God, nice guy.
That's cool.
I was just like, okay, I mean, you really got to, you know those two, you know, people in TV to actually get that one.
Yeah, that's for themselves. That's their own inside thing.
Yeah, I mean, somebody pointed that out to me. They asked me, it's just like, is a law firm supposed to mean anything? I'm like, what was the name again? They told me. I was like, why does that sound familiar? I'm like, Google!
Well, you know what? Just about everything you could say, does that mean something? Like I asked you about the Mercury Labs. It's got to mean something. I thought it was more than the obvious Mercury God reference, but I wasn't sure if there was something, there was a Mercury Lab somewhere in DC Comics.
No, it's... You know? You know, in the comics, McGee worked for Star Labs. It seems like the only two labs out there was either Star Labs or Luther Tech. So.
Yeah.
And then whatever Wayne did, I mean, I don't think. Yeah. So the main two labs, you know, Star was always the biggest lab there.
Yeah.
So it was just like everything else is, you know. But, you know, Mercury Labs is just Mercury Labs. Just a
name.
Yeah.
What did you think of Atom Smasher?
Different take, a little different take of I don't know, I really like the character from the comics. I was kind of bummed to see him as a villain.
Yeah.
And the way he was, like, snorting the...
Yeah.
Comics. Like, and the way he grew was just like...
It was random.
It was random. At the same time, it did look, it's just, he just didn't grow, like, in Justice League Unlimited, you see him grow, it's just like boom, 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 you know, like Apache Chief did in the Super Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Here it was kind of like more of like that morphing type of changing, like almost like how the Hulk is.
I was going to say it was more like a stretching kind of thing.
Yeah, but it was just like you see different segments kind of grew a little larger. I mean, it looked a little campy at times, but I could look past it.
You know what? He was okay. I know what they were doing. They set him up for something, but they didn't quite really explain, at least good enough for me, what his motivation was.
No, well, he said something about Zoom.
Yeah, I know. Right. But I don't know. Like, right. I don't know, really want to give it away. I mean, whatever.
Well, yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be on, so we don't have to worry.
Well, right, he says that Zoom set him up
Zoom set him up to kill Barry, but at the same time, what I'm thinking is, because it starts off with Al Rothstein, who, a.k.a. Atom Smasher, found dead.
Right.
And then you see Al Rothstein, then you see Atom Smasher. So my theory is you know, maybe another Earth, Al Rothstein, came to this Earth, killed... Let's call this Earth 1 and Earth, you know, Earth 2, Atom Smasher came to Earth 1,
yes.
Killed the Earth 1 Al Rothstein.
Right.
I don't know why he did that, because he wasn't trying to hide himself. That was a little of this, like, okay, why?
Well, you know what? That does kind of make sense, because at the end, Jay Garrick walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the promos that they've been showing, I was hoping Jay was going to be in this episode a lot more than he was. But
yeah, I know.
Because that's, I think I just saw a promo for it. And I think it's for the next episode, where it was just like Jay was talking to Barry pretty much the whole time. And like, I couldn't wait to see Jay. And then he just walks in at the end.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe that is, maybe that is what's going on. And did you, speaking of Zoom, did Barry associate Zoom with Reverse Flash?
No.
He didn't, right?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he, if something happens. When he says Zoom, you know, like the camera goes to Barry and they hang there for a little bit. I'm thinking, he's not associating those two yet.
No, because they really never, they called him the Reverse Flash.
They never
called him Professor Zoom.
Right.
So, you know, I think it was just like, Zoom, who the F is Zoom?
Okay. And there is, and we don't know for sure that's the direction that they're going, like, that they're related in any way. Zoom could be just a totally different character.
I mean, yeah, all we know is Zoom's the speedster.
Right.
And he's going to be voiced by Tony Todd.
Right. And that's really all we know. Right.
We know that, you know, we know that Zoom is the main mastermind. That's why Garrick is here. All we know is just behind the scenes, but we really don't know anything else about Zoom. I mean, we can only theorize, but, you know,
And what we're theorizing is what's happened in the comics. And
yeah.
We've already seen they're not necessarily sticking to what, they're just using the comics as a frame.
Yeah.
Sometimes the frame's a little tighter and sometimes it's a little wider. So we just don't know for sure. And purposely so, we don't know for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, this episode just worked on a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, obviously, the gang all gets back together.
Band gets back together.
Yeah, one big happy family again, you know, go Team Flash. And we finally see...
Before you move on to that point, you know, we talked about before about having... We didn't care too much that he had this team around. Like, we were just used to him working on his own. But this episode really kind of showed why he needs a team.
And it made
a lot of sense.
And the other part I loved about the show is it's, you know, the episode is called The Man Who Saved Central City. And it was all about Flash Day. And this is a big thing, you know, in the comics, in the pre-52, you know, Flash is such a big deal in Central City. He's got his own museum. He's got his own day. They love him. And I love the fact that they made him a very public hero, that he went up there, took the key to the city.
Yeah, reluctantly.
Reluctantly, but it was
But he still did it.
He still did it, and it was just, it was great to see.
Yeah.
It was just really cool to see that. And, because you know, every other hero we've seen has just always been the hero in the shadows.
Shadows, right. And it goes back to that whole gritty, grimy thing.
Yeah.
It is cool to see him out in the open.
Yeah, among the people. And this is the Flash we need.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I love that fact. And then, of course, my favorite part is the change of the white background, and everybody's talking about how it pops and stuff.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
But it's just like we all wanted it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they just couldn't give us that from the beginning, but whatever. We got it now.
Again, at the end of the show, it happened.
Yeah. But still cool.
Oh, and then the other thing that I thought was annoying is Cisco and his fucking toys.
Oh, God.
The boot. I mean, come on.
Really?
I get it. I get what he's doing here, but so does he have to come up with a toy with every bad guy?
I thought it was hilarious. It didn't work, but I'm like looking at this like it clamps around his legs and then does what?
It's a boot.
But the villain can still, flail his arms around. Would it make more sense to have something that, I don't know, grapples them? I looked at that and I was just like, wow, that is
I think the intention was to depower whoever it was around.
Right.
But obviously it didn't work.
Yeah,
to you and I, it didn't work. Not to everybody else who hasn't seen it yet.
Well, you know, it's just... This is not a metahuman created by the lab accident. This is
right.
a metahuman from
somebody else. Yeah,
of exactly. intention, so we don't know what, you know, Sisko created. But somebody pointed out to me also that Al Rothstein was listed among the dead in one of the episodes.
Really?
I forgot to look that up. Because there was an episode where, Wells is like naming off names. He says Grant Emerson, Ronnie Raymond, and somebody told me he said Al Rothstein. I gotta look that up.
I don't know. I'm not good at picking up these Easter eggs and spoilers, especially on the first go around.
Yeah.
I watch it too much. I can't divorce myself on the first watch, on the first go through. I watch it as a fan, as a fanboy. Sometimes if I don't let myself get sucked in subsequent viewings, I pick up stuff, but
right.
hardly ever do I pick up Easter eggs, unless they're blatantly obvious.
I know, but damn, it was, oh God.
It was fun, I'm glad it's back.
It started off, this is a nice, strong sophomore season.
Are you going to watch live? Since you watch it, you're good?
I gotta see what my situation
is. So you got a busy week.
I got a busy week, and I got to see my situation. I mean, yes, I'd like to watch it live, but, you know, I'll probably be, like, a couple hours behind.
Yeah, I just was wondering. So, before we go on to the other topic that mm-hmm. we're going to talk about, and I know you didn't watch it, but I want to bring it up, and I want to throw some things at you. Gotham this week.
Well, we haven't discussed Gotham the first week.
Oh, you're right. We are a little behind, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Let's talk a little bit of Gotham, if you don't
yes.
feel all right with that. So,
oh God, yes.
We're up to the second episode. You saw the first. I saw the first.
Yeah.
And I just watched the second. Now, after the first episode, you swore it off,
dude.
You were done. You only watched it because I'm asking you to watch it.
You asked me to watch it. I tried giving it a chance, but the camp factor in it is just—it's too over the top for me, and I can't deal with it. It's just. And I've come to the conclusion, it has nothing to do with it not being Batman, because Arrow is not the Green Arrow. Flash
right.
is not comic Flash. It's
right.
They're adaptations. I can accept that. I have no problem with that. I mean, it's...
But you know what? Wait, before you move on. Those two shows, although they're adaptations,
mm-hmm.
they are much truer to the source material than Gotham is.
Yes, I mean, I agree with you there, but it's just like, the first season I had a problem because it was just like shoving so many Batmans in, and they still seem to do that every week they announce something new, and I was just like, I can't take that anymore.
Yeah.
But it was just, this episode was just so campy, and I'm just tired of looking at it so dark and dreary and monotone color. And
did you watch the whole episode or did you bail?
No, I watched. I suffered through it.
There's a couple things that have to do with the show, but not so much the episode. Mm-hmm. The producer said in an interview, I think either the week the show came out or the week after, the first episode.
Right.
He was talking Court of Owls and how the Court of Owls, you know, fits into this somehow, right? But what he said was they can't play every card. You know, they have to hold some cards in their hands. And I'm thinking, why? I mean, you throw everything else on the
table. Are you kidding me?
This one thing, Court of Owls, you're going to hold back a couple episodes?
Oh, my God.
But that really doesn't have anything to do with the show. What I want to talk to you about is, I know you don't like him, but Jerome really is growing on me. I like him a lot. I think in this episode, episode two, I like him a lot, man. I really do.
I can't. I tried, man. I really did. But
no, you know what? I'm not. I realize that I'm a Gotham apologist.
I'm not
trying to convince you. I just
he was just mugging the camera too much. It was just like way over the top, and it's like you're trying too hard to be the Joker.
But right, and this is where I have a problem with this episode that they. All of a sudden, all this shit. I'm just going to tell you what happened, and you're
going
to comment on it.
All right.
The gang gets together, this villain's gang,
yeah.
and they eventually end up at GCPD. Barbara lures Gordon out, right?
Oh, God.
Totally. I'm telling you, totally Harley. She should just call herself Harley Quinn. Looks great, by the way. totally should call herself Harley Quinn at this point. Anyway, the rest of them come in and kill everybody.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not shitting you. They come into GCPD and kill everybody. Except for Jim, because Jim's outside and he's getting the crap beat out of him by one of the other guys. Harley / Barbara, you know, there. So he gets himself up, goes back to GCPD, and like I said, just about, I'll tell you who's not dead, you can guess.
Yes,
Doctor's not dead, she hid, and Riddler's not dead.
Of course not. What about
His girlfriend, the girl that he likes, he saved her. Everybody else, dead.
But what about the new commissioner, Essen?
Dead.
Are you kidding me?
He, in fact, Joker Jerome, kills her. I mean, they have like an interaction, blah, blah, blah. They go back and forth. You don't see him kill her, but by the time Jim gets there, she's dead. So, yes, and this is where I'm at. It's way, way, way too over the top. So, you're right. It's campy. I don't know, man. I can't. It's like they're just doing. There's no way this show's gonna last. And honestly, I want this show to last. I was really hoping like they would. It just killing everybody, all the cops, and then of course Bullock comes back because you know from the first episode, right. Bullock's in the bar and he's not coming back. And when Jim's there, so now with the commissioner being dead, you know who's gonna be commissioner now.
Are you gonna?
He's gonna be Commissioner Gordon.
All of a sudden,
he's too young to be Commissioner Gordon.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And then there's the whole thing with the Batcave, this is the other thing I don't like. They got into the cave in the first episode, right?
Yeah,
the computer stuff, right?
They just sort of showed a desk and like a locker and some other stuff.
So there's this whole computer console and he's in there with Alfred and Alfred does the right thing. And as Bruce is trying to boot the computer up, destroys it. Just destroys the computer.
Why?
Like, because he doesn't want Bruce to go down this path already. Like, it made perfect sense. He did the right thing and Bruce fired him right on the spot. So, you know, there's this whole thing going back and forth. Eventually, you know, they come to terms, blah, blah, blah. Then there's a quote-unquote chance meeting between Alfred and Lucius Fox. I like that. I like that their two are going to kind of work together with Bruce. I go back to this. I will always go back to this. Bruce is far too young. I don't know if they established it last year, but in this episode, they clearly said that Jerome's 18 years old. So he's 5 years older than Bruce, if he's really the Joker.
No way.
So, all this being said, you're totally right. It is campy. They threw way, way too much. They're just going to shoot their load, man. I mean, it's before the season's halfway over. Two episodes in, all of the cops are dead.
Like I said, I don't have a problem with the changing of the mythology for a larger audience. I don't have that problem. It's an adaptation. I get it. I've been around the block enough to understand that. But I have a problem with this. Crappy writing is crappy writing. Crappy TV making is crappy TV making. I'm sorry, this is shit TV. It really is. It's just goddamn, it's horrible. It's horrible to watch. It's horrible to, it's just god awful.
It's a shame because I do like, I like the characters. I like Gordon.
I like Gordon. I like Bullock.
I do like the Riddler. And the cool thing about Riddler is he's, that whole split personality thing is kind of going on. Penguin wasn't too much in this episode. Even now that she's going to be, I'm saying she's Harley. I mean,
she's Harley for all intents and purposes.
She's Harley. It's the right character for her. It's just, you know, Bruce, whatever, you know, whatever. They should just magically make him 16 years old already.
The only good episode in my eyes last season was the Red Hood episode. And it was just, I don't know, it had a serious tone to it. It was, something about it just worked.
And I also don't like the whole not knowing what the time period is. Because it's not that I don't like it. It's they're mixing too much.
Fuck Burton for that one.
Yeah, it's just too much. They have CRT monitors, but they're using cell phones. It's just that I don't like either. It's like I said, the characters are good for the most part. I don't know.
The kid they got to play Wayne just really has these puppy dog eyes, and I just want him angrier. Like I told you from that one issue of Batman where you know was talking about his childhood, where he was an angry young kid.
Yeah.
But with a sense of justice, and you know, he's just like he fought the bullies himself. You know, he beat the shit out of kids.
Yeah.
Because you know, lunch money and shit like that. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
We aren't getting that. We still have this wimp. I'm just looking at this kid like, this is going to be our Batman?
It's funny because I said the same thing as I'm watching it, because he's starting to grow. Like, he's growing as a kid. He's
physically, mature. Yeah. I mean, he looked a little, you know.
He looks older now.
He looks older, yeah. But still.
This is going to be Batman? I don't know.
It's going to be an emo Batman.
But Alfred's supposed to be training him now. He's going to go back to school. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why Bruce hasn't been in school. But he's going to go back to school, and Alfred's going to start training him. So, oh, and Alfred. I like Alfred, too. For a show, you like most of the characters. It says something. The stories are just awful.
It's funny you should say that about school, because for some reason I was, like, wondering today. If you think about the heroes, I mean, I'm not talking the adult heroes, but your sidekicks, they're all high school dropouts.
More or less, right?
None of them have graduated high school, let alone college.
Well, wasn't Tim... Tim was still in school, wasn't he?
Tim was still in school, but then they...
Wasn't that the problem, like, initially between him and his dad? Like, his dad kept flying
But then after a while, it's just like he stopped going to school, period. They're all like that. You look at it, like, every teen hero that's out there, or everyone who was a sidekick, have any education whatsoever.
They were educated on the streets.
I'm like, looking at this all of a sudden, like, realizing it, because it's just like, you know, you got Barry Allen, obviously went to college and stuff, but Kid Flash is a college dropout.
Right.
Dick never went to, you know, never really graduated high school. He pretty much dropped out of college. No, he graduated high school, never really went to college.
Pete did. Spidey did.
Yeah, but Pete is, I'm more talking sidekicks. And
okay.
Stuff. I mean, it's just like, great mentoring, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why this random thought just stuck in my head for
something. Well, because it's funny, because it's the same thing with the show. Like, he says, I go to school, and I'm thinking...
Oh, I know where... I just finished the last arc of Fraction's Hawkeye.
Oh, did you? What'd you think?
Oh, great series, but I was just like, Kate Bishop is just like, doesn't she ever go to school?
Yes, right? I'm like, holy shit!
That's where it came from all of a sudden today. I was just like, reading, and I'm like, all of a sudden that thought just popped in my head, like, does this chick ever go to school?
So, that's Gotham. You don't want to watch it, it's cool.
I tried. I really gave it a go. It's nothing to do with the fact that's, you know, it's not my Batman, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with it's crappy writing. It's just god-awful.
To be honest with you, I think I just came to terms with the fact that it's not going to be, they're not following the arc or the story of Bruce Wayne as Batman.
Yeah, because what's the problem with that, though?
I want to say I have, because, you know, you expect certain things to happen, and these things aren't going to happen, like, Gordon already is going to be commissioner. If next episode he's commissioner, he's too fucking young.
True.
He's way too young to be commissioner. Oh, whatever. So, anyway, that's your Gotham update. I just wanted to, I really just wanted to tell you, and not to convince you, but just to say that Jerome, I really like Jerome.
Some characters don't need a history.
Oh, agreed. And which drives me nuts even more, because we know so much about this kid already. He's a teen, he's this, he's that, but here I am. I'm kind of digging him. He's, you know. Well, anyway. Switching gears. I'm curious to know your thoughts on.
All right.
So, today there was Bleeding Cool broke this story about a growing controversy in cons and stuff about creators charging for autographs.
And this has been going on now for at least about a year now that I know of.
What, this controversy?
Oh, well, yeah.
But creators and stars and stuff have always charged for autographs. So it's not like this is something that's just to comic books.
Well, it wasn't charging for autographs. It would charge, the writers wouldn't charge anything. Mm-hmm. But the artists would just charge for a sketch.
Right.
And then you would have people bring up a shitload of books.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just like it's like they'd go up and say, yeah, make them out to eBay, please.
Well, I'm going to say where I stand and then we'll address everything.
Yeah.
Personally, how I feel is, look, these guys are going to do whatever they want. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I got to preface this by saying I don't think there's anybody's autograph that I would wait for, go after, or pay for. Because that's just who I am, and the way I see it, first of all, what the fuck am I going to do with an autograph? Frame it, and then what? Big deal. But this is just me. I won't wait in lines. I won't for pictures with stars, stuff like that. That's just who I am.
Well, let's separate the media from the comic creators.
You're right.
First.
We have to separate it, but it all will come together at some point.
Yeah, but let's just focus on the comic.
Okay, so you're right. I will. I'm not a autograph seeker. I'm not one of these guys. Now, so this is how I feel. So because I feel this way, if I'm the artist, I do the work. You buy the book. I feel like you come up to me, you've already bought the comic book. Whether you bought it at the table I'm at or you bought it at your comic book store, you come up to me and ask me to sign it, I'm going to fucking sign it. Now, you stick a piece of paper for me to sign in front of me, you know what? Again, this is me. I'm probably going to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand, creators want to make money, and so they won't sign anything. So they want you at least to have something of theirs to sign for free.
Okay.
Now there are creators that charge $10. I think part of this article pointed out Neil Adams was charging $30 for a signature.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God bless Neil Adams. Fuck that, man. Legendary artist. Love the guy's work. Grew up on his work. Fuck that. So that's where I stand on this. Now, again, you say your point. I wasn't cutting you off. I just wanted, because we're really going to get into this. And I just wanted to say where I stood. So go ahead.
All right. Now, I kind of see their point of view. I mean, on the other hand, people like Jimmy Palomi and his wife, girlfriend, Amanda Connor, what they were doing is every fifth book,
mm-hmm.
they would charge like $5.
Okay.
Which I think is fair. I mean,
which is definitely fair.
I mean, I have several, books in my library, trade paperbacks. And some of them, yeah, I do want to get autographed because it's just, they mean a lot to me. I get to meet the person. I express, it means a lot to me. They sign it. It's, I'm not doing it for a profit. It was very cool. Over the years, I've gotten some cool bonuses, like, at the first New York Comic Con 10 years ago, Ethan Van Scriver, I give him the hardcover of Green Lantern Rebirth. I just asked for an autograph.
Yeah.
He took the inside, page that, then when you open up a book.
Yeah.
Drew a huge, right on the spot, huge Green Lantern for me.
That's awesome.
And he said, he goes, because you were one of the few who bought the hardcover.
No shit.
I mean, I have pictures of, I chickened out, I don't know why, I got like, I have fanboy-itis with Brubaker and Fraction.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, my Winter Soldier and my Iron Fist.
Yeah.
They just bashed the crap out of me, and then, but in a joking way, they're like, hey, it's Ryan, fuck him! Like, there, you had Iron Fist saying that, and things like that. It was just like, alright, yeah, okay, fine. I deserve that because I had to have my wife ask because I got too starstruck.
But, you know, it's just like, and, you know, Matt, you know, like, Darwin Cook drew, like, a quick, you know, Batman silhouette, and,
Now, did you pay for these, or did they just do them?
They just did. I was just wanted to, you know, just their signature on the book.
Right.
I'm not coming up with 100 books. I maybe had, like, one, maybe two.
Okay.
At the most. And no more than that. And I would pick out key things, you know, like I said, certain things that just meant a lot to me that I would just like their autograph on.
Well, see, that makes sense. And again, if I'm the judge here, I don't have a problem with that.
But we're living in an age where you see people come up with stacks of books.
Well, and that's where it's wrong, and that's where I say, okay, if I'm the artist or I'm the writer, and somebody comes up and has got 10 books, mm-hmm. I'm saying, listen, I'm not signing all those books.
But it also has to do with the fact, like, somebody like Neil Adams. You know how much money he's getting for Jon Stewart?
I don't know how much.
Nothing.
Why not?
Because he doesn't own the character.
Okay. All right. Well, that, okay, I understand that.
He's angry, he's bitter, and he's getting tired of, you know, these people.
But, you know, but okay, I understand what you're saying. But to me, then, he's taking it out on the fans by charging $30 for an autograph. To me, listen, if you're a Neil Adams fan and you know, you love the guy you grew up on, you have all his books, I mean, to me, the least he can do is sign those fucking books. He wants to charge $5, $10, especially if you've got more than one or two. I say one. You want to charge them more after one? That's your, I mean, the whole thing is your prerogative.
But the transaction is finished once he drew the book, you bought the book. End. That's it. He doesn't owe you anything.
Okay. And you're right. And perhaps, but for that one I know where you're coming from. I don't agree because he got paid for that. You know, he got paid that amount of work. You went ahead and you bought all these issues, and you go up to him, you with one issue, and he can't sign one fucking book. No, again, you're coming up with five, you're coming up with 10. It's his prerogative to say, get the fuck out of here. I'll sign one book. I'll sign it for you, and that's the end of it. But to charge $30, at that point, whether it's DC screwing him or not, he's taking it out on the fans.
But he's just trying to make money like everybody else there.
I mean, nobody's
buying his artwork. Then on the other hand, you've got somebody like Joe Schmo, who was victim number 9 in Friday the 13th, part 14, charging $100 for his picture.
Wow.
And people are paying for it.
Okay.
Why shouldn't Neil Adams charge that?
Well, I don't agree with that either, to be honest with you. I don't agree with that either. If you've got a picture of Joe Schmo from Friday the 13th, 5, and whether you bought a picture, a headshot of this person at the con, or you bought it online, you go up to meet this person, you wait 5 hours in line to meet this person, to me, the least they can, they're getting paid to be there. The least they can do is put their name on that picture. Again, you got 10 pictures in front of you? Listen, dude. I'm signing one. I'll sign two. That's the end of it. I'm not signing anymore. So you're right. And I think it's crazy that, listen, I would like to go up. I'd like to talk to Stephen Amell. I mean, I don't need his autograph.
Right.
There's people that I would love to go up and just rap with for, Captain America, Chris Evans. Love to rap with him for a couple minutes.
I know.
But I am not, whether Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., first of all, I'm not paying hundreds of dollars to have this, you know, to talk to him at all. And then on top of that, you're gonna pay for the picture to get a picture right there on the spot. And then for autograph, but that's just how I am as a person. I don't agree with that. I don't think they should be doing it either. They should just show the fuck up, sign the pictures. It's fan service, man. Well, and if some douchebag comes up with 10 books, 100 books. Yo, I'm signing two. That's the end of it. Now, if you want, at that point, if Neil Adams wants to say, okay, I'll sign the rest. It's $10 every subs. I'll sign two for free. Mm-hmm. Every other one after that is $10. Then I get it. But to me, when you charge in that, you don't care about the fans. Man, and in this job that they're doing,
I can't fully agree with you, man. It's
goddamn it! What's the deal? I think is this the one thing we don't agree on?
It's just these people. You know, they work so freaking hard. They don't get shit.
Listen, I say all this. I'm not famous. You know, I don't work for somebody. I don't put my hard work, you know, drawing or writing out there. So, of course, I'm saying it on this side of the table.
Yeah, it's just like these people get passed over. It's just like, you know, the next guy. It's just like, all right, yeah, thanks for your 20 years of service. See you later. Who can we bring in next?
But okay, understood. But that happens everywhere, dude. It happens in every industry. People get chewed up whether, you know, they're accountants or they're pencilers.
But this is entertainment. This is the way entertainment is. It's just, I mean.
Listen, nobody's going to stop anybody from charging for autographs or pictures. I just think $30 is outrageous.
Well, at the same token, I mean, think about how many people are going to run up to somebody like Stephen Amell, snap a quick selfie. Stand next to Amell and hope he smiles at you.
Okay, all right, so you see Stephen Amell out on the street. Is he going to ask you for $30 or $50 to take a selfie, or is he just going to take the picture?
Okay, but you think Neil Adams, he's eating dinner out there. You ask him for an autograph while he's out in the middle of a non-con outfit. He's not going to sign something. He's going to say, I need to charge. I need to charge.
What you're saying is he's going to sign it. Whatever you.
There's a difference between being at the con and not being at the con. I'm talking about. I've seen people run up to the booths where people are signing off to the side.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, that's wrong. I mean, look, that on the other side is wrong too. If people are paying A to see Stephen Amell, B waiting to see Stephen Amell, then you should be running up and snapping pictures.
Same token, those prices shouldn't be $200 for a fucking picture.
And the people who are getting, to me, the people who are getting screwed are the fans. Because, again, I go back to whatever Neil Adams' deal is with DC, I'm almost positive. I wouldn't be surprised if they screwed him out of a lot of money.
Yeah.
But $30 is not getting back at DC, man. What he's doing is...
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I know you don't have the answer.
I mean, look at someone.
I'm just saying, I can't.
Look at someone like Scott Snyder, who was there. Yeah. What he did is, yeah, he charged, but all the money went to the Heroes Initiative, where it wasn't going to his pockets. But then again, he's being paid a better rate than Neil Adams is.
Then why? Okay. Well, that I'm cool with. I'm fine with that too. Listen. I'm fine. If you want to go see Neil, if we're at the con, you want to go see, you say to me, listen, I'm going to go get Neil Adams' autograph. I'm going to say, shit. If I take my kids and they want to get Neil Adams' autograph, I'm saying, go right ahead. Knock your socks off, man. I'm not stopping anybody. I can't believe it. When I read that,
I guess because I've always had a good relationship. Maybe I'm jaded because I have a good relationship with Neil.
Actually, if anybody's cheated, it's me.
No, I mean, on one hand, I get it. On the other hand, it's just, right thing to do?
I don't have a problem with Neil Adams at all. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a great guy.
He is.
But just when you read it, it's like, wow, holy fuck.
He's been charging this for a while now.
I know. And you're right, on the other side of the token, you got the wrestlers up there at $75 just to see them, another $50 to get your picture taken with them, like, and then
some fucking, there's gonna be a paid signing for this chick, Yaya Maya, she's a fucking cosplayer!
Cosplayer, right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous, man.
I'm sorry.
Dude, you and I are in the wrong business.
Fucking cosplayers.
If
I'm paying for a cosplayer, she better whip out those damn titties. I'm sorry. Fuck that. Don't give me this horseshit.
I got $50, but you got to show a little bit more, sweetheart.
Yeah.
yeah, that's funny. Oh my god. So anyway, and yes, and the other thing that's going on at the cons, which I don't know if it really ties in, but it sort of does. Are the rumors going around that, and these rumors have gone around for a while now. So
yeah,
every time these cons come up.
Yeah, every time. And
Marvel / Disney are rumored that they're clamping down on the illegal, I don't want to call it illegal, but the illegal selling of their artwork. So in other words, you see the artists in Artist Alley selling pictures of Spider-Man, unauthorized, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, but
unauthorized prints of their heroes.
Yeah, but here's the thing, it's just like, they're all unauthorized. Unless you're working for the that means you have old-timers,
mm-hmm.
hot new guys, mm-hmm. and unknowns, all in the fucking Artist Alley, all drawing characters they don't own.
You know,
legally, they can all be sued for copyright infringement.
Right, and that's what they're...
But here's the thing, it's just like, then you have the thing about what is art, what is not art.
I'm not as clear-cut on this one. I think if you... And this, to me, is where Neil Adams makes his money up. Like, if I'm Neil Adams, DC's screwing me, has screwed me all these years, I'm drawing mm-hmm. every fucking picture of Batman, and that I'm selling
yeah.
at the cons. And I don't give a fuck. You bring your lawyers, that's when I'll stop. That's where I think Neil Adams makes his money up. Again, I'm not Neil Adams. But, I don't know, like... The random guy who's just trying to be an artist and he's selling pictures of Spider-Man that he drew, but never drew Spider-Man? I don't know, man.
The sad part is you look at some of these people in Artist Alley and you gotta wonder yourself, why the fuck aren't they working in comics?
I bought...
Especially with some of these momos they have drawing the books.
I know, and
I look at some of these artists on the books... And then I look at the guys at Artist Alley, and I'm like, why is this idiot drawing? Why is this monkey drawing, and you're not?
I've wondered that myself many, many a time. I've bought, you know, unauthorized prints of DC superheroes, Marvel superheroes, from guys and girls that weren't necessarily artists on either, you know, whatever character I'm buying. But it goes back to your art. It was just a great picture.
Well, see, the thing is, then I go one step further.
What's that?
I get it off of like a site like DeviantArt or the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I print out a color copy myself.
Absolutely. I mean, we have done that.
Yeah, but the thing is, then I've heard stories of artists complaining about this, about their art being ripped off, and I'm like, you don't own the intellectual property in the first fucking place. You yeah. can't be ripped off when you're ripping off somebody else.
Yeah, that's where I think one of the lines comes into this, that if I draw a picture of Spider-Man, I put it up on DeviantArt,
right.
and you take it and print it out and put it on your wall, listen, I should be honored that you fucking printed it out and put it on your wall.
My wall? How about look at Redbubble?
That's just it. Now, if you're taking my art, putting it on a t-shirt on Redbubble, I mean... What are you going to do? It's not my fucking character. I mean, yeah. I'll be pissed that you took my drawing of Spider-Man, but I don't work for Marvel. I may be pissed, but what kind of recourse do I have?
You really don't have any.
I mean, what you're doing is illegal. What I'm doing is illegal. And if I go to Marvel and say, yo, they're taking, then Marvel's going to come. You don't have any right to be drawing Spider-Man. We're both screwed.
Yeah, no.
The only difference is you were smart enough to take my picture and fucking put it on a t-shirt.
I know.
That's the only difference.
Yeah. It's a never-ending cycle.
So I don't know where that line is. Some of these guys that are really flagrant about it, I don't know. I personally don't know. I think on this, I go on the side of the artist and just let them fucking, I can't imagine they're making a ton of money off these prints that Marvel and Disney have to be that fucking worried about their intellectual property.
I think the problem is, like I said, I think places like Redbubble really opened up the door. Yeah. And there have been some shirts there that have really been cool that I wanted to buy.
Yeah.
And I finally, you know, I get the cash because, you know, Redbubble is not
cheap at all.
No, but then again, it's just like, it's a one-shot thing that they're printing. You know, it's not like they have like a stock room of shirts. It's just like
right.
someone's got to print that shirt out. So, I mean,
cost-wise, it kind of makes sense, because you're only getting one printed t-shirt, so it's like about $30 a shirt. But I've gone back, and they're gone. I'm like, what happened to such and such? Well, I was asked to cease and desist. And you can't exactly say no to that.
Where do you stand as a fan who goes and buys, you know, something that's...
Well, when it comes to the shirt things, I'm like, well, if Marvel would get off their fucking ass and make this D-list character on a shirt for me, I would be fucking happy.
So you don't have a problem, as a fan, you don't have a problem with buying a Daredevil Netflix shirt?
No, but...
Off
of Redbubble? No, because if they would get off their ass and do it in the first fucking place,
yeah,
this wouldn't be my only source.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If this is, you know, like customizers with action figures. It's just like, if you would make these fucking toys that we want, instead of giving us the crap we don't want, we wouldn't have to do this and sell it on eBay and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, those
customizers make a lot. I mean, listen, they get a lot of workers into that. But those figures go for a lot of money.
But you got to realize it's the time is the money and the
parts. Oh, absolutely. I am not knocking any customizer.
When I started off, that's how I got into, like, all these comic boards was through customizing, and there were people who were being told to cease and desist on eBay a couple times from Marvel.
I believe it.
And, you know, it's just like, but at the same token, you just got to realize, well, you ain't making the shit.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do, suffer? Fuck that.
It's weird, isn't it? As a fan, the reason I wouldn't go on to Redbubble and buy a shirt is probably cost. If something was $30, $35, that's what's going to stop me from buying a shirt.
I broke down about four times and bought shirts, and I've been very happy with what I got.
I
saved up. It took me a while. It's like, what are you going to do now?
It's interesting. I don't classic starving artists. I don't want anybody, you know, who's an artist is selling their work on at these cons to not work. I don't want to me. It's corporate bullshit when, you know, Disney sends lawyers to shut down artists who are just trying to make a couple extra bucks. I mean, come on, guys, on Artist Alley, come on. Cut them a break. I think that's where I stand on this. I get it, you know, if they go in and there's guys that are flagrant about it, you know, they got the big walls of all the heroes and, you know, they're charging $50, you know, I guess I would understand, but I think I side on the artist. On this one, I side on the artist and just let them make a couple extra bucks. Jesus.
That's how I feel too. It's just like, people love their favorite characters.
Right, and sometimes, you know, your favorite artist isn't on your favorite character. And if you're Frank Cho, man, I fucking love Frank Cho. If I had the money and I saw Frank Cho, I would ask him to draw somebody that he doesn't draw.
Well, I mean, you remember when we had my friend Tom Frank on, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
About his sketchbook project.
Right.
It's just like, you know, He's getting all kinds of, you know, some famous, some not so famous, some indies, some big names, drawing evil robots.
Yes.
And he's got these four huge, and he's shelling out thousands and thousands of dollars for this project. I mean, I would love to go with a sketchbook and just hit people up to just get different interpretations of the question.
Yeah, see?
But I think I'd just get a lot of headshots and fits on me. But anyhow, people do that. You know, they get their favorite character in their sketchbooks, and it costs them, you know, $300-$400.
You know, speaking of all this, what's the difference between a guy in Artist Alley who's, you know, got a small table, mm-hmm. he's selling some prints, and somebody like Adam Hughes, who's I know. But it's not like Adam Hughes has any more right to sell pictures of Wonder Woman than, you know, if you were in Artist Alley selling.
Well, that is what I was saying earlier. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
The thing is, it's just like, they go after, Disney goes after Adam Hughes. Big hullabaloo all over the internet.
Yeah.
Disney goes after Artist Bob.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who Artist Bob is. Oh, poor schmuck. You know, some of us will feel sorry for him. A lot of us will curse out Disney for this bullshit. But it'll fade away.
And then a couple months later, is Bob back selling Batman sketches?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I get the need to protect your intellectual property. I get it, but let the fucking artists, as long as they're not being thieves about it, let them just get a fucking layer of it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, like you said in the beginning, this rumor just keeps circling. It's just like,
oh yeah,
every year,
it happens.
Every
con it happens, it's always the same artist at these cons.
Yep. And the same rumor keeps floating around. Ooh, yeah. Disney's on a pearl to watch
it. And it's always Disney. It's hardly ever DC.
Because everybody knows Disney's a bunch of dicks. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We all see
those hardcore lawyers, man.
We do, you know, we all like, you know, it's just like, okay, yeah, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, but, you know, we're only drinking it halfway. We watered down the Kool-Aid is more like it, you know, it's just like, okay, yeah, we love the Magic Kingdom and stuff, but we know you're a bunch of dicks when it comes to dicks.
Yeah, right. We love your theme parks, but your intellectual property, you know, your lawyers, they need to chill.
Your creator, your god is an anti-Semite. L'chaim.
We're coming up to an hour. Is there anything else you want to cover?
I mean, there was, I'm not too sure if you saw, there was a couple, picks. I checked with Netflix. They said they weren't official, but I'm sorry, these look too good to be candid again.
The Luke Cage picks?
Luke Cage, he looks pretty good.
He looks good, but they were just basically the same pick.
Yeah, well, he's from different angles, but he
yeah, but like, it was just him sitting in front of a barbershop.
Yeah, and it's nice to, you know, kind of see him. It's just like, oh, cool. They're
at least they're doing it.
They're doing it. They're filming something, but it's just like Netflix is telling me, oh, we can't do anything about, you know, why can't I think of the term of those paparazzi?
Okay.
Like I'm like, oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like
cease and desist, brother.
He mugged the fucking camera too a couple times. If you look at these pictures, don't tell me Netflix didn't have anything to do with this. Well, if they did, then it was fucking Marvel. Something had something to do with that.
I saw somewhere rumors of your Iron Fist, so something must be happening with it.
They're still talking about it, but we haven't heard any.
No, nothing. I haven't, nothing firm. It was just, again, rumors, but, you know, things are, when you start seeing rumors, wheels are in motion.
Sometimes. I mean, yeah. Also, I have rumors about the Teen Titans live-action TV show. And
yo, I just heard it again this weekend about that.
Kidding?
I said I haven't heard anything about that show in a long time. So, what do you got going on this weekend? Anything good?
Kidding me? 9 days away. 9 days away. What do you think?
New York Comic Con, huh?
New York Comic Con, yep. I am, God, sucking up big time, especially to the media, trying to get into their panels. Got some people into the Gotham panel now, just working on the Supergirl panel. And
that's cool.
Still waiting to see if the Netflix show panels, I don't know. I probably should. I can't bring myself to do anything for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just don't care enough.
Yeah, doesn't that start this week?
Yeah, it starts tonight.
Are you watching it?
I didn't watch it all last season. Just asking. I don't care.
Just asking. But Quake, man, Quake.
Oh, did you see the, there was a Italian promo of Jessica Jones? It's on YouTube.
Yes, where she's crushing the clock?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see that.
A little entertaining.
Yeah.
Kind of says,
Was truly a teaser.
Yeah.
All she does is crush that fucking clock.
But you also see all the empty bottles around. I'm like, oh my God, they nailed her.
Yeah.
Even just that one simple scene, they nailed Bendis's alias.
Yeah.
They really did. So I'm, for some reason, I'm just all of a sudden like really now more looking forward to it than I was.
November 20th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't wait. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure there'll be some news. They are having a panel and a screening, like they did with Daredevil, a couple seasons and stuff. I can't attend it this year, unfortunately, due to my schedule. But you know, I'm sure sites will have it all up. But that's all I got going on. How about yourself?
I'm working on a new internet show. Still working on that Batman. I've been revamping, doing some new things, so it's taking me a little bit longer. But you know how it is. Hopefully, in the next couple weeks, I'm really planning to do some filming, so if I do it this weekend, by next week, tentatively, should have
tentatively.
It. but in the meantime, you can check me out at the-newsbox.com. You can check Brian out at castlescorner.com, and you can check us both out on this very show, fanboyfactor.com.
And to keep in touch and keep up to date on when the new episodes are coming up, just go over to either iTunes or Stitcher, but there's only one real way to find out anything.
Man, subscribe.
Subscribe.
That. Just subscribe.
Don't make us get the lawyers.
Oh, my God. You think Disney lawyers are bad? Jesus. Wait till we get our lawyers on you.
They were
not subscribing.
They have teeth.
Teeth. All right, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you next week.
Yes.
Have a good life.